Good morning. Thank you for joining us today for the Radio Sunday School Hour. We're so grateful to you for you joining us. Since last we had our Sunday School lesson, I've had several folks to call and get me word that they enjoyed the lesson, and that's always encouraging. We don't ask you to send us any money. We trust God for the money, and God's provided. So we just want you to join us through prayer and through supporting us. So we're glad that you are here on this December the 1st. Guys, can y'all imagine?
No.
Y'all got my Christmas present book?
Hadn't yet.
Well,
I really hadn't even prayed about it.
Have you? Do you need a big truck to haul it on?
No. I'm all.
Might need some money to buy it with.
Uh-oh. Well,
because you know you expect big things.
Yeah,
on Earth.
I do, but this year I ain't worthy of a present.
Oh, okay.
Since you won't have to borrow
me. Okay.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's good. We have a good time.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is, preachers, and you don't know it, but preachers and pastors really have a lot of sadness in their life. We see people that are sick, and see people that die, and people that families are hurt over, and problems in families. So when we get a chance to be together and to have a share and have enjoyment in what we're doing, then we take every advantage of it. Now we're going to be studying now for I believe it's 6 weeks, this first section here, on answers to tough questions, defending what you believe. I don't reckon I've ever gone to a church as a pastor that somebody didn't come up with a brand new question, never been asked before, like, where did Cain get his wife?
Yeah.
And that one, I've prepared for that one, so I'm always expecting it any time. But we do have some questions that are important, that are tough, and it is important that we take a stand for what we believe in. So we're going to study on December the 1st today. Do we need to defend our faith? On the 8th, is there a God? On the 15th, does absolute truth exist? And on the 22nd, is Jesus God? And then on the 29th, aren't all religions the same? And on January the 5th, what proof does my testimony offer to others? So, thank you again for joining us. And now we're going to have, oh, by the way, the scripture comes at for this lesson out of the book of Jude, verses 1 through 4. 20 through 25. How many chapters are in the book of Jude? You guys, you know?
I believe one, eh?
Yeah.
Just one.
That's the reason I didn't give you a chapter thing there. I just gave you verses. Well, so, and then we're going to talk about some things about Jude in just a moment. But first, we better have prayer. First, we better tell you who we are, and then you can pray for us in our pitiful shape while we tell you who we are. Brother Leonard.
Yes. I'm Leonard Hill. I'm serving over at Coalfire Baptist Church now on the old Highway 82. And been there for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks and having a good time with
though.
It. Yeah, Gordo.
Yeah. I hear it's growing though.
It is. Yeah, yeah. It's doing well.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's slowly but surely. And we're just having a good time.
That's right.
Amen.
What about you,
Brother? I'm Brandon Pinion. I'm pastor at Moore's Bridge Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa County, and enjoy it every day.
Yeah. And I'm Herschel Owen, and I'm pastoring at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Gordo, Alabama. So any one of us, if you're in our neighborhood, come by and see us and worship with us, and we'd love that. But now let's have prayer. Brother Pinion, you lead us in a prayer that God will bless and enable us to do a good job on teaching this lesson.
Amen.
Our Father, it's always a joy to come into your presence with friends.
Yes.
And I thank you for the privilege and opportunity of their friendship.
Yes.
And I thank you, our Father, for the opportunity of sharing the gospel.
Yes.
On radio.
Amen. Yes.
We don't know the people that might be listening. We probably won't see many of them ever. But we'll know when we know that we know Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Because we will know them.
That's right.
By their works and by their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Grant our Father today that you'd give us wisdom in sharing the gospel and wisdom in pointing people to the precious Son of God.
Amen. That's
whom
right.
To know aright is yes. Life eternal.
Yes.
Have your own willing way with it, and we'll thank you for your presence
yes.
In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, so you get your Bibles if you can, or if you happen to have a quarterly, the Life Way Adult quarterly for the winter months, then get it. And this is, we don't go right by the quarterly what the writer says, but we go right by the script. So anyhow, Brother Leonard is to my right if you go around the table this way. Now, in fact, in the way you go, he's to my right. So I'm going to ask him to read the first section of verses there. And I've divided this up into three different sections. Contending for the true message of faith.
Amen.
Contrasting missions. And then finally celebrating Christ's blessings for us.
Amen.
So if you read that first scripture, the first four verses of Jude there.
Amen. Jude, chapter, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, Brother Leonard. You know, there's a lot of tough questions in the Bible. A lot of them I don't know the answers to. I just tell folks right up front. And it don't bother me that I don't know the answers to everything in the Bible. It's the fact that the ones I do understand that I don't do sometimes and don't obey.
Yes,
that's the
right.
Ones
that's
that bother
true.
Me.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
Yes.
And don't think God expects me to know everything about him or his word. Or I'd have a mind equal to his, and I do not. So we live in a world that is filled, though, with all kind of questions, all kind of confusion, and all kind of unbelief. There are many confused people with unbelief that are trying to capture our hearts and minds. Just before we started, we all shared a little bit about how you get these calls on the telephone. About people trying to scam you out of your money. They're trying to sell their program to
absolutely
enrich themselves. There are also people in the world, though, that don't believe in anything. And if they could, they'd mess you up so that you wouldn't believe in anything either. That's the reason it's important to study God's Word and to pray. People outside the church don't know very much about the Bible. Well, I'm sorry to say many professing believers
that's
don't
right.
Know much about the Bible either.
That's right.
And so I hope you're not one of them. I hope you do study God's Word, and I hope you pray and ask God to reveal the meaning to you. But that's the way we can get our questions answered. Professor so-and-so may know something, but he doesn't know everything, and he may have gotten his information twisted. But Professor Jesus, our Savior Jesus, and in his writing, in God's Word, it'll stand when the world's on fire.
Amen.
Now, so many, outside, most people outside of the church don't know it. Many that are in the church, they don't know the Bible either. Now, since they don't know God's word, what it teaches, they're easily misled with hard questions on life. Very rarely a week goes by that I don't get a call from somebody, either in the church, our church, or somewhere else, that has a question, most of them are sincere. They really want to know. Some of them are just trying to trick you and just see if they can set you back and embarrass you. But most of them, I'm glad to say, are people that are interested. But sometimes they have not studied God's word as they ought to. Now, so let's think about contending for the true message of faith. Brother Leonard, what is contending?
I think it means that we need to contend, to stay in touch, to strive, to always be what God wants us to be, and be ready to defend it. Able to defend it against any and all who oppose it. And you can't contend if you don't know what you believe. You have to know what you believe.
Right.
Amen.
Well, first thing we see, and I've pulled out of this set of scriptures that Brother Leonard so graciously read, is the believers are identified. Brother Pinion, who was Jude?
Jude was a half-brother of Jesus.
Yes.
Now, he's identified in there as James, wasn't it?
Well, he said...
As the brother of James, and yeah. He was. But James also was a half-brother of Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Because Jesus' father was God,
hey.
and Mary's children were all fathered by Joseph.
Amen.
And so you got a little bit of a play on terms there, but Jesus didn't have any full brothers.
No,
he was the only begotten.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Yeah, he was, and so. You got a whole parcel of half brothers that belonged to Mary and Joseph,
right?
And were half brothers to the Lord.
Well, what about this word, Brother Leonard? He calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. Now you know, if I was a half brother, I'd say I could go to him and say, hey brother. This is your half brother, but why did you think Jude called himself a servant of Jesus?
Well, I think main reason was he wanted people to understand that he was not relying on his kinful or fleshly relationship,
right.
But on his spiritual relationship. And the word servant, that I understand it, in the Old Testament, there were a couple of kinds of servant. There was a servant who was forced to be a servant.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the bond servant.
Who was voluntary.
After he was supposed to be released, he chose to stay. And I believe that's where Jude was. Jude said, I don't have to do this because he's my brother, but I'm choosing to be the servant rather than calling myself a half-brother.
But now, why would he be a servant if Jesus was just a part of the family there? Is there more to Jesus than that?
Well, yeah, there's a lot to Jesus to start with. But I think it does show a respect for and a commitment to who Jesus really is,
right.
And the real message that Jesus brought. They were beginning then to buy into it.
Right.
They probably up until this point, Herschel, in their relationship, had not really believed that he indeed was the Son of God, as described in the Word. But then, as time developed, and as Jesus began to demonstrate and declare to them things that were unusual or miraculous or different, then I think they begin then to believe that he really was the Son of God and that he really could do everything plus what he was doing.
Yeah.
And that made them realize then that we indeed are his servants. I think on one occasion, if we look back in John, with on the occasion of the wedding at Cana of Galilee, Mary reminded them to do whatever he says. And that, to me, means that she knew who he was and was trying to advise those other people there, maybe some relatives, but not the half-brothers.
Right.
But reminding them that he is the Son of God and that he can do everything he says he can do plus.
Yeah, sure. There was a verse in the Bible, I'm trying to remember where it is, but it says, at this time, Jesus, his brother, did not believe in him.
That's right.
So one of you stated that he hadn't believed in him. But you know, if a man can turn water into wine, and if a man can take a blind fella and cause him to see, if a man can take a crippled fella and cause him to be able to walk again, if a man can take a boy that's epileptic and falls in the fire and in the water and cure him, well, I mean, there ain't no end to what I could say about Jesus that he did.
Right.
And so, of course, I'm agree with you 100% that old Jude said, hey, this boy is sitting at the table with me. Maybe ate homemade biscuits. I don't know whether they had homemade biscuits back then, but I hope they did.
They had something because they fed 5,000 with two of them and a few fish.
That's right. So anyhow, he said, even though he sat there at the table with me, and we talked, we grew up together, there's something different about this guy. He is the Son of God.
But I think also, Brother Herschel, that verse that you were talking about, I was just reminded when you said that, it said they did not believe on him until after the resurrection.
That's right.
So all the healing did not have a great deal of effect on them.
It didn't change
even them, raising Lazarus from the dead didn't seem to have a great deal of effect. But when they knew that he was crucified and put in a grave and he come again,
right,
alive and walking, and he was with them in that upper room for a time to explain to them what was going to be taking place, they knew that he was more than just a half-brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, if you were talking to a fella or a girl or a mama or a daddy or a grandpa or grandma, Brother Leonard, and they said to you, now this Jesus, he just was a Jew born in Bethlehem, a little place called Bethlehem, out of the way place. What makes you believe that he is the Son of God? You know, I've had people say, now, preacher, I just don't believe all that. How are you going to answer that?
Well, I'm going to go back to the Word.
Amen.
See, we've got a lot of folks. Now, I don't mean this critically. I'm trying to be as truthful and as helpful as I can be. We've got a lot of people that are so wound up in music. And they love a good, exciting worship service that's filled with good, elaborate music. And I enjoy all of that.
Sure.
I enjoy that. But somewhere you have to go back to the Word, because difficult times are going to come in our lives, as it has in all of our lives. Mm-hmm. Difficult time comes. And when those difficult time comes, you need something that's going to build your faith. And you got to have that something in you. That everything you believe is based on something, not hearsay, but on something. And that's the Word of God. So when trouble time comes, I don't say, put another song on. I, 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 I don't need another song.
No.
I go back to the Word.
Right.
And I can just believe what God tells me in His Word about who His Son is, what His Son has done, and I can believe the promises of God. And I'm looking now at Philippians 4:6,
mm-hmm.
and He said, "And the peace of God
right.
will surround you." And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
So,
well, the Bible says itself,
yeah.
heaven and earth will pass away.
Yeah.
But what does it say about the Word?
Never.
So if you want something that's lasting, I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he's getting a house built. It's a log house, but the logs are cement logs. And that house is going to be there a long time if a storm don't come. Because termite, you ever see a termite eat a cement log? It won't. You ever see a cement log rot? It won't. So those things have some lasting ability about it, but I'll tell you what, it was just like when Jesus walked out of the temple there, and the guy said, "Lord, look at this beautiful place."
Yeah.
"Man, we got it. We have it." And what did he say? He said, "Fellas, I'm going to put this in radio Bible school lesson language." He said, "Fellas, one of these days there ain't going to be one rock left on top of another in that place."
And Herschel, the size of those rocks, I've been there, and the size of those rocks are, we're sitting in the sunroom with a screened-in porch.
Mm-hmm.
Just off of us. It's about 16 foot wide, and it's about 25, 30 foot long. And those rocks are that big, some of them. Not all of them, but I mean, the rock are huge rocks. And some of the original rocks that was in the wall and in the temple when Titus destroyed it, are still there. When they rebuilt Jerusalem and put the wall back around it, they couldn't use those big, or they didn't use them. I don't know whether they could or couldn't. But they did not use them, and they're just sort of stacked out there randomly. And we're not talking about the size of a brick.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about sometimes the size of a house.
But, you know, them big old machines that they had.
They didn't have no big old machines. Caterpillar hadn't been invented then.
Oh, excuse me.
John Deere was not on the market just yet.
So, man.
Especially them cotton pickers that roll that cotton in balls behind it. It wasn't there. No.
So how in the world did they get a rock as big as you're talking about it, raised up high enough to get it on top of another? We don't know.
No, we don't. But it had to be manpower or animal power
right.
or a combination of the two.
But who would have imagined? Now, Jesus, I really believe in you, the disciples said. You've been right a lot most times. You've been right every time. But big old rocks like this ain't going to never fall. But they did.
That's what they thought.
But they did.
They did. Titus destroyed the town. Killed a million people.
And set fire inside, and the gold ran down between those rocks, and somehow or another they pried them apart and got them out of the way to get the gold. But here's the thing. Now, what the disciples thought were wonderful things, it was destroyed. But this book will never be destroyed.
That's right.
So if you depend on big rocks for your salvation, or your security, forget it. But if you're depending on the Holy Word of God,
amen.
You can trust in it.
Well, if they're depending on armaments, or if they're depending on defense cities for their safety, then the only thing you have to do is turn on the evening news.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because you can see where they can blow them up, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, to sky high. And into a million pieces in one flick of the finger.
So those believers, number one was Jude, And he said, I'm a half brother of James, but I'm not ashamed to tell you, I'm a servant of Jesus.
That's right.
Because Jesus is the Son of God, as you guys have said. And Jesus could do anything. The song says he could do anything but fail.
That's right.
And he didn't fail. Yeah. And he won't fail. You can count on him. You can put your life in his hand. And the song says, my life is in his hands. The life said, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. So, folks, we too ought to be able to say to whoever says, what about this Jesus? We ought to be saying, man, I'm glad you asked me.
That's right.
I want to tell you about this Jesus. I want to tell you. Well, also, not only, though, did he identify them, but he identified some that are sanctified. Sanctified. Some of us Christians have let the world rob us of this word sanctified.
That's right.
What does it mean, Brother Leonard?
Well, sanctified means that you're set apart from everything else but God. You're supposed to be. Bible says that without holiness, no man shall see God.
That's right.
And so when we talk about sanctified, that means that we're cleansed by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Not anything that we've done, not any good works, but it means that God has paid the debt that we owe.
Amen.
And there's nothing else that is owed. We're set apart. We are sanctified. We'll never be any more saved than we are today if we're saved.
That's right.
You can't get any more saved.
No.
I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, you're saved, set apart for the service of God. Our problem is that most of us in our society today do not live a set-apart life.
There you are.
And that's totally what it means, is to be set apart for the service of God.
Recently, we had a little service at our church. Our church is just 30 years old, so we can't have homecoming because there ain't nobody left to come back. But we call it celebration. And so I went to pay for the chicken, and when I got through and paid for it with my credit card, they wrote on the top in a felt tip pen, "Paid in full."
Amen. Yeah.
I'm so glad that my record with the Lord Jesus and with God the Father,
yeah, amen.
It says paid in full.
That's right.
Paid
amen.
In full.
Amen.
Man, that's right, man. I'd rather have that than a barrel of chicken, and I like chicken.
Yeah.
But that's the most wonderful thing ever happened is when we could understand that we are sanctified. And Jude said, I'm sanctified. I am saved, set apart, like Brother Leonard said, and preserved.
I like that word, too.
Tell me, Brother Pena, what is it, preserved? You ever eat any preserves?
Oh, yeah, I eat them nearly every morning, sometime, Brother.
Well, I'm not asking you what peach preserves are, but this particular instance.
And I'm not going to tell you what peppers are either.
No.
But that means it is protected. It has been treated to the point that everything's going to work out all right.
Amen.
And that's the way it is with Jesus.
Amen.
It's been preserved. Our lives, our hearts, our future, our everything has been preserved through his shed blood and through his mighty grace and love.
Amen. Father Herschel, a year or two ago, my wife had put up some beans.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought all of them had been preserved.
Yeah.
Sealed.
Yeah. And so we went in there one day and picked out one of them and opened that thing up. And, man, they smelled. I mean, that thing got rotten because it didn't seal, suck down. And so I'm so thankful that when God sucks it down, it's tight.
Yeah.
It won't ever rot.
He sealed it. Yeah.
Yeah, it won't ever go bad. Amen.
And so he's talking to some folks there and is identifying them as people that yes. have been sealed so they won't yes. ever go bad.
Yes.
Is that what we call eternal security?
Yes.
I believe it is.
So when you're preserved in Jesus, not in Baptist, yes. Baptist or not in baptism, or not in church attendance, but when you're preserved in Jesus, you ain't going to go bad as far as eternity is concerned. Never do it. It don't mean you're always going to live a perfect life, because I have to confess that ain't been my case, but it does mean that God, when he saved us, and I wish we had time, but we don't. I'd like to go back over to the book of Hebrews and talk about those folks that wanted to go back to Judaism. They were going through persecution, those Christian Jews.
Yeah.
And Paul, who I think wrote Hebrews,
I do too.
Said that when Jesus died, that he paid it all. Now, I asked him the other, and I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, but the other Wednesday night I said, where was Jesus from the time that he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the spirit left him and went into the hands of God. And his body they took down and put it in a tomb. Well, what was he doing during that time? Well, the whole thing of Hebrews talks about that in the Old Testament and even up to that point in the New Testament, Judaism was a case of the high priest once a year going into the Holy of Holies with some animal blood to atone for the sins of the people. And I said to them, is it possible that our Lord himself, in those days between when he was crucified and when he was resurrected, that one of the things he did was to carry his blood to the Father and say, Father, I'm the high priest.
Amen.
Here's the blood.
Amen.
Here's the blood. It didn't come from no cow.
I believe that.
It didn't come from no goat. This is my blood. And forever, forever, and forever, the blood of Jesus paid for our sin. And we'll never be lost again.
That's right.
We'll never have to have another high priest to go give any more blood for the sacrifice. It was done once and for all. And dear friend, if you're listening to me, that is the greatest news this world has ever heard. Our Savior, the great high priest, the most wonderful, the better one, the most perfect of all, because the Old Testament high priests were not. They lived and they died. Every year they had to go back in there and make another sacrifice. The sacrifice was not perfect. But when Jesus did it, it was, and it is sufficient, and it'll never have to be done again.
Right. Well, you got several illustrations in the Old Testament where the priest became negligent in their service mm-hmm. and sinful in their activities, mm-hmm. and they had to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
But now Jesus will never be replaced.
No, he never will. And he won't have to do it again.
No.
In fact, the Bible says that if you can get lost, if what he did when he carried that blood to the Father through his sacrifice, if that wouldn't work, then friend, there ain't no hope for any of us.
That's right.
Because he's not going to come back and do it again. If he did, it might not work the second time.
That's right.
But it worked.
Somebody asked me one time, Brother Herschel, Brother Pinion, well, what about those sins that I commit after I'm saved?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, and here's my question to them. I said, well, how many sins did you commit before he died?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I hadn't. I wasn't born.
That's right.
I said, he paid for those.
That's right.
And he pays for the ones now.
Right.
And he pays for them all.
He does.
It's done. It's
That's
done.
Right.
Well, for us Christian, though, and they're sinning, if they're genuinely saved, they're going to realize their sin, and they're going to seek forgiveness
for it. Absolutely. But they're paid for it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They don't just keep on sinning.
No.
Well, that's if what they're Hebrews genuinely 10, saved.
That's what Hebrews 10 says, that
that if you willfully and continuously sin after you say you were saved, like you did, before you were saved, you're not saved.
Yeah.
A Christian can't do that. Well, anyhow, man, this is wonderful.
It is.
This is just wonderful. So he addressed Jude. Jude addressed himself as the servant. He was the half-brother. He talked to sanctified and saved people. He talks about people who were reconciled through mercy. Verse 2 says, mercy unto you.
Yeah.
He talked to people, and boy, if it wasn't for God's mercy, where in the world would we be? Then he was blessed, talked to people that blessed with peace and with love. Well, my goodness, I don't know if I'm going to have time to go on like this or not. But then not only, though, were the believers identified, but the believers were instructed about the common salvation. That used to bother me, that word common. Because Jesus' salvation is not your everyday run-of-the-mill,
right.
just ordinary kind of stuff. What does it mean when he's talking about the common salvation, Brother Pinion?
Well, I would guess, to be honest with you, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know a common salvation is a simple fact that Jesus Christ died for the sins of all of us.
That's what it means.
Every single one of us have sinned at some point in our lives, especially if we come to the point of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to tell a lie, or we're going to think an evil thought, or we're going to commit an evil deed, or we're going to do something that's going to require the forgiveness and the cleansing that only God can provide through that common salvation that he made available to us in the cross and in the resurrection and in his soon coming.
The worst sinner in the world.
It's the same for everybody.
Worst sinner in the world that don't have a quarter in his pocket, and the rich man that's got $10 billions of dollars, salvation is the same for
even. The ground is level at the cross.
That's right. Good point.
So, that's what he's talking about. Well, he says we need to contend for that. And y'all have identified the contendant earlier, but say it one more time where he says in verse 3, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Well, contending is just going to the ring with it. I mean, if I have to fight for it, or if I have to debate it or do anything like that, I am contending for what I believe to be the truth of the Word of God and for what I believe is a fact in the salvation of the Son of God. And believe you me, brother, I'm going to contend for it.
Amen.
If somebody challenges it with me.
And those guys that lived in the day that we're talking about here, most of them contended to death.
Yes.
They didn't.
Yeah.
They were willing to die.
The whole crowd.
Yeah, they were willing to die.
Right.
And my question to you, God's not asking us particularly to die for him physically, but he is asking us to live for him.
Yeah.
And to illustrate.
And that's living right, too. Right. Not just randomly.
No. Illustrate his what salvation's doing to us.
I think we need to do that even within our churches.
We do.
Because sometimes somebody will come in and they may have some little doctrine that's contrary to the Word of God. And we need to be willing, whether you're a deacon or whether you're just a lay person or a pastor, you need to be able to confront that and say, you know, here's what the Word says.
Any Christian.
Yes.
Well, let's get lost people involved in this, too. How can a man who has not been born again, what steps has he got to take? What money has he got to pay?
How does he get saved, Brother Leonard?
Oh, he doesn't have to have any money. I mean, it's already been said, Brother Pinion said, the ground's level at the cross. And so we all come to the cross. But the only way to get saved is for God to speak to your heart. Now, some people try to tell me I'm a little bit lopsided on this, but I don't think so. If you don't ever believe that you're lost, you won't ever get saved.
Right.
God has to convict us of our sin. And he does that through the Word of God.
Right.
And once God convicts us and we understand that we're lost, and then whoever is talking with us explains that Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. And that's why he died, as Brother Pinion's already greatly explained to us. And so he did die, and he paid for all of our sins. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he also tells us in Romans chapter 5 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, so God loves us. I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
But if you go to Romans chapter 10, the Bible tells us that if we'll believe in our heart and confess with our mouth our sins, and that Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, that God will save us if we're true with our heart and we are willing to confess. He'll save us.
This is not just something you do to be religious.
No.
The Bible says the wages. Now, you just proved by the Word of God that all of us have sinned.
Yeah.
What's the cost of sin?
The cost of sin is spending an eternity in hell, separated from God.
Death physically is when your soul is separated from your body.
Yeah.
Death spiritually is when you're separated from God.
One of the things that's critical in this now, very, 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 very critical in it, is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Now, a man can read the Word, and he can live his life and go to hell.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He can know the Word.
That's right.
And live his life and go to hell. But the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and convinces me, and convicts me that he's talking to me.
Amen.
And when he starts talking to me through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God, then I'm going to make some changes.
Amen.
Or I'm going to do some different things to try to gain what he has promised me in his word is going to be mine when I do.
That's right. And you know, Brother Pinion, some people read the Word of God and never allow the Holy Spirit. I was told about a man in Tuscaloosa many years ago that read the Bible continually 3 or 4 times. And he always had questions, and he liked to confront preachers.
Mm-hmm.
Explain this to me. How could this have happened? Mm-hmm. And he knew the Bible backwards and forwards.
Oh, yeah.
But he never allowed the Holy Spirit of God to touch his heart.
Exactly.
That's he didn't know the God of the Bible. Right. He didn't know the Jesus.
That's it.
My daddy was one of the worst people, and God helped me not to say anything wrong about him. And he was not saved until he was 81 and a half years old, if he was saved then. I hope he was. He went through some steps that I believe indicated he was. But my daddy read the Bible. Even while he might that night take a 12-gauge shotgun, single barrel with a hammer back, and hold it to our head and threaten to kill us. But he read the Bible. He read the Bible because he didn't have education, and he was trying to learn to read. But he never saw, till he was 81 and a half years old, he never saw the Jesus of the Bible. He never met the Jesus of the Bible, even though he read it, but his motive for reading it was to try to improve his reading. And he was finally, on a Saturday before Easter, I was cleaning his house. He was 81 and a half. And I told him, tomorrow's Easter. And he said, son, what's Easter? And I told him, and a little bit later he said, tell me again about Easter. And I did, and witnessed to him. And I told him he could be saved right then. And he bowed his head, and I hope and pray he did. But he read the Bible those many years to improve his reading. A lot of people read the Bible for that purpose that you said, to argue or learn to read,
or for history.
Yeah.
But you need to know the God of the Bible.
Amen.
And the Jesus of the Bible. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can reveal him to you.
And you just have a lots and lots and lots of folks that the only reason they read the Bible is to learn to read. And that was the reason for the invention of the printing press.
Sure.
Was to print the Bible to where people could read the Bible. Wasn't it the Gutenberg press?
It was. They
invented it and developed the printing press so they could print the Bible and people could learn to read and also learn about Jesus.
Amen.
Well, we got to move on, but I want to mention one more thing. That verse 4 said, the reason we got to contend, the reason we got to know what we believe, the reason we've got to be settled in our own mind about who God is, who Jesus is, who we are, because there are certain men crept in,
yes,
unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. They were in the church.
Right, absolutely.
And there are some, and I hope you're not one of them that's listening to us. If you are, then we still got good news for you. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. But they had crept into the church, and their motive was to destroy the church, destroy God's word, and destroy the people. Having said that, now we've talked, and not by any means have we exhausted the contending for the message. But you stand for what you believe. You stand up. You go to bat. That's a common term for today. You go to bat for the truth of the word of God and what you believe. But secondly, we're going to look at Jude 20 through 23.
Okay. Jude 20, verse 20 through 23. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, having compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh.
So my second point that I've illustrated out of those verses, contrasting missions and purposes. We've already talked about people read the Bible for different reasons. People who go to church for different reasons. People call themselves religious for different reasons. But it does say, Brother Pinion, that real Christians are different. In verse 20 there, what do you think that means in the term of keeping real Christians are different?
Well, what makes them different, Herschel, is the fact that Jude's book says, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, when you and I or anyone, it doesn't make any difference who they are, when we start praying with the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance and grace, and we're not saved, ultimately, it's going to lead us to the fact that we need to be saved, and then we're going to take the step of turning our lives and hearts over to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His shed blood to cleanse us and to purify and to purge us and to make us acceptable in the sight of God.
They were built on faith, it says. And their prayers are guided by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, Brother Leonard?
Well, as I was reading this again, as Brother Brandon was reading and talking just now, we should be able, if we're where we need to be, we should be able to recognize these people. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God and looking for the mercy of God. We need to understand and know. And have you ever felt you've talked with somebody for just a little bit and then all of a sudden you say, there's something not right with that person?
Mm-hmm.
There's just something that just doesn't...
Yeah, I think it's a common thing.
Yeah. I had a test the other day at the regional radiology place. But anyway, the young lady come and got me, and she was a young black lady, just sweet as she could be. And we get in there, and Jimmy Sue was with me, and she was telling me what I need to do, take this off, put this on, and so forth. And while I was doing that, I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. I said, are you a Christian? And she broke into a big old smile. And she said, yes, sir, I am. I said, so you know that you know that you know that you know you're going to heaven when you die. She said, it's settled.
I love
so
that.
So I reached over and I hugged her and I said, well, then you're my sister in Christ.
Yes, you know? Amen.
So, there's something that identifies, and I just appreciate that fact. But what we need to confront is those, I don't mean confront in a mean way.
No.
But we need
loving
to,
way.
Loving way. We need to question and contend.
Right.
Contend. That's a good word.
And the prayer with the Holy Spirit, sometimes I'm sure if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, my prayer would make God just flat out angry. Because I pray sometimes things that wouldn't be in His will. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the Holy Spirit, with utterings and groanings, takes our prayer, cleans them up and tweaks them, fixes them up. And when they get to God, they're right.
Yeah.
And so that when we pray, we need to remember that I've heard people say, I just don't know how to pray. I don't either. A lot of times. But the Holy Spirit comes and He says, Father, now this is what that old preacher down there in Gordo, this is really His heart. I'm going to give you His heart.
Yeah.
He messed up on some of His word, but I'm going to give you His heart. And the Holy Spirit, if we could just see how the Holy Spirit made us wonderful prayer warriors.
Yeah.
Because that's His part. In not only guiding us, but then also guarding and cleaning up our prayers before they get to God.
You know, I find, and I don't know where everybody, maybe it's just me, maybe I need to do more of it, but I find that prayer, real prayer, is hard work.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It ain't a little flippant thing you do.
And yeah. I find some people that have, and I mentioned this in a sermon not long ago, a message, that some people pray and just say, amen, when they get through. Mm-hmm. No, you can't do that.
No. Whose name? Whose
it's got to be in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, that's the only one He answers, is those that are in Jesus' name. And so that comes through the Holy Spirit again.
And you just answered, the contrast in mission and purpose. Real Christians are different, but real Christians are diligent. You mentioned work.
Yeah.
It's hard. They keep... The Bible says right here in what you've read in 21, they keep yourself, they guard themselves in the love of God. They're faithful to God. Now, real Christians are diligent. They're diligent to do that. I've been a pilot ever since the military, and when I flew then and when I fly now, you can't be sloppy. If the instruments tell me, especially when I'm in the clouds, if it tells me that I'm 5 degrees off, I can't say, well, 5 degrees, that don't mean anything. And when I get to the other end, it may mean 50 miles. When I get to the
you
other
might
end.
Be in a swamp somewhere.
That's right. And so I've got to be diligent. And I've got to guard myself and be accurate in living the Christian life by the help of the Holy Spirit of God and by the teaching and instruction of the Bible and be faithful to God. So real Christians are diligent. And if you're gonna do anything, my mama taught me, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And brother, she meant what she said. She didn't stand but about 5 foot tall. But Lord, she could take a peach tree limb and teach you all kind of lessons. And I learned some of them the hard way. And so, but my mama was diligent in teaching us.
She was contending.
I mean, she knew how to contend too. I've been taught that if be diligent, do the best you can, and trust the Holy Spirit to guide you. So Christians, if you are on a mission for Christ, real Christians are different. Real Christians are diligent, and real Christians are compassionate toward those who are struggling with the deception that those who had crept in had brought, but they also were compassionate toward, in verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. I never have saved anybody out of a fire. I have out of water. My buddy and I pulled another buddy out 2 times, and he finally drowned anyhow on one Sunday evening over in the Black Warrior River in Tuscaloosa. A little girl that we carried on a picnic, she got out in deep water, and we had to get her out. And she liked to drown. She was about 12 years old. But I'll tell you, when you're drowning, you'll climb up on anything. You'll push anybody under. And there was 2 of us, grown people, that she liked to drown in. But here's my whole point on all of that. Real Christians are compassionate, yes, to those that are headed for hell, and they already got the smell of fire upon them, and we reach and pull them out any way we can, any way we can get them out.
Yes.
And don't you give up on people. You do everything you can to reach them for the Lord. Now then, we're going to have to, not because we want to, move toward to Jude 24 and 25, Brother Leonard.
All right, Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. We've looked at contending for the true message of faith. It's not an easy road, and sometimes you have to stand up and contend seriously for the truth. We've talked about contrasting missions, different things that we ought to take seriously into consideration about being a real Christian. Finally, we close, though, with celebrating Christ's blessings, preventing the Christian from falling. Who can do this? Who can do this? Unto him that is able to keep him falling, there ain't but one.
That's Jesus.
That's Jesus, the living Son of God, and present you. We prevent the Christian. He prevents the Christian from falling. He presents the Christian faultless, even though we're all sinful and we fail. But when we're presented to God the Father by His Son, we're presented faultless. And then finally we conclude in verse 25, praising Christ for His favor to Christians. But to Him be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Aren't you glad that even though we may have to defend the faith, we've got something worth defending?
Amen.
I believe in America, and I served in the military. I would serve again. They wouldn't have me, but I'd serve again because I want my little grandchildren to have a free America to grow up in. But way more important is that, is those little children knowing Jesus as their personal Savior. And that sinner that lives down the road, that alcoholic and that drug addict, needs to know the Lord Jesus. God help us to contend with those who are misled and those who do not know about the real faith, but also contend with the devil, so that we may pull them out of the fire over to the Lord Jesus for salvation. Thank you for joining us. Do so again next week.